Well, one thing we know is that right in the book of Genesis, we're made in the image and likeness of God. God is a spirit. And so that means that if God is a spirit, then what does that make me? I'm a spirit. And so if God spoke things into existence, then there's a pattern here. Well, I guess we would call it a pattern that if he spoke things into existence, then if we're made in his image and likeness, and it says we're to walk as he even walked, Jesus, this is in 1 John, that we also should. And of course, there's scriptures in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews chapter 3, let me turn over there, Hebrews 3 chapter 1, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it says that we're to consider the apostle and what? It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So there's some things in Scripture that talk about having a good profession. He had a good profession. We're made in his image and likeness. And we also are to have a good confession. In Revelation, you can jot these. I'm going to just give you some scripture real quick, but it says something familiar, Revelation 12, 11, they overcame him, talking about Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Let me also flip over here to some other scriptures that we're familiar with. John 1, 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How was it made? It was spoken by words. In other words, you could say this planet is a word planet. In other words, it was spoken into existence. The unseen created the seen. By what? Words. And they all are supported by the spoken word. John 1:10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. How? By words. And so there's a pattern here. I'm making a point here. And we could see that in the book of Genesis. And Hebrews 1:2, it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So we can see here that we're to speak, we're to have a good profession. And of course, I'm going to get over into some other scriptures that talk about this, but we can look at words as a seed. So when you look at how did we get born again? 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we were born by the seed, the word. And so those things, as it says in Luke 21, verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so in John, it says here, John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. So we need to have the word planted into our hearts. That begins to do what? Produce, bring a fruit or offspring from the Word. And it says here, if his words abide in us, we can ask whatsoever he wills, and it shall be done. So his word in us gives you an authority. You could say it this way, that his word in you gives you an authority in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth is what? Bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So whatever you speak, whatever you bind, you're asking in his name. It gives you authority in heaven. And his word is your contract as well as your contact with him. So it's his contract, but also you connect or contact him through the word of God. Hallelujah. So faith is built by words. So how do we say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? So faith is built by words. And deeds, I'll say it another way also, faith, when faith comes, there ought to be a confession of faith. And that confession of faith, there's an offspring to your confession of faith. What is that? An action, a deed. So deeds or an action is actually an offspring or fruit of your confession. So the confession of faith will produce a deed or a fruit. In other words, you could say it's the children of your words. An action is. So your action, if you are confident, if you believe, if you really believe, there's an action. And believing, Brother Hagin used to say it this way, and I think he may have gotten it from E.W. Kenyon, but he said, faith's confessions create realities. So faith's confession, your confession of faith will create a reality here in this earth realm. It'll cause an unseen through your words to create something in the scene, good or bad. And we know that from Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And the message, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. So what we speak will have an impact in our life, good or bad, positive or negative. Let's turn over for a short time. Let's take a look at this in Numbers chapter 13. And let's see what happened in this story here, this account. And let's look at the beginning of Numbers 13. In Numbers 13 and verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which what? What did he say next? Everybody get there? Numbers chapter 13 and the second verse. It says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give you. So he says, which I give unto the children of Israel of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them. And so he's to select someone, a ruler from every tribe, and they're to go into the land in Canaan. And what did he say? I give it to you. He's given it to them. So you can then jump over to verse 17, and it says, and Moses sent them, he selected from the 12 tribes, and of course they go in, and Moses sent them to spy out the land and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And of course, Moses began to say some things that God never said, which I think got him in trouble right to begin with. Maybe. And it says here, in verse 18 and 19 and 20, he said, go into the land and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. God never told him to go in and check out whether they were strong or weak, few or many. He just said, go into the land, I give it to you. Right then. So let's jump ahead and let's look at verse 31. It says, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. In verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So they brought up an evil report. Why was it evil? Anybody have any thoughts? Why was it evil? That's exactly right. In other words, it contradicted what God said. God said, I give you this land. It's a good land. And now they're calling it a land that eats up the inhabitants, you know, those that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So God never told them to express that. He just said, go in and take it. And they brought up an evil report. So it's possible that even in our own lives, we have to watch what we say. If God says, you're blessed, if he says, you're healed, Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law, if he says to you that he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ, and all the promises of God are yea and amen, and you start to express and say contradictory to that, it's an evil report. It is evil and can affect the results that we get. So we have to consider that when God says that he will supply all of your need according to him, through his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, then he'll do that. And we're not subject to the conditions in this earth realm. We're in a new covenant. We're in a new kingdom. We're subject to a new king. We're subject to a kingdom that we have a king over. And those kingdom laws and principles have been bought by the shed blood of Jesus. And so for us to then express and say, based on what we see, this is what the scripture says, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? You could also say, walk by a good confession and not by sight. Doesn't mean that we're not led by the Spirit of God. All of that's part of your privileges. And so God will lead us. You know, I was thinking about this morning when I was coming up. How many have heard of Charles Capps? C-A-P-P-S. He's gone on to heaven. But I saw him back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, going to some of the Kenneth Copeland meetings that he was teaching at. And so I heard this in person. I didn't hear it, and I also heard him share it on tape at the time. But he said, I like to hunt. I like to go in. I like to hunt for deer. And he said, you know, if you're in the woods, you know, you can get poison ivy. And he said, my body was just, it would blow up with poison ivy. And so he said, I began to speak the word of God to my body. And he said it took about 4 or 5 years. But he said, I got to the place where I could take poison ivy and strip it down the vine and I wouldn't get it. And he said, because I had built the word in my spirit. So he said that when I first would contract poison ivy, I'd get calamine lotion, do all that, you know, you normally do, put it on. But as I'm putting that lotion on, I'm speaking the word to my body. I'm speaking the word to my body. I'm speaking the word to my body. And then I'd go in, and then he'd say, you know, I'd get poison ivy just like I did before, get the calamine lotion, and keep speaking the word to my body. Keep speaking the word to my body. And finally, it began to change. What changed it? His faith confession of the word of God. And it began to change his body. And this is the thing that we need to keep in mind, that if we're going to get results in the word of God, we're going to have a confession of the word of God. Sometimes, most folks, when they start making a profession of faith, they go, well, I guess it's not working, because they don't see the results. So ultimately, what they're saying is they don't have confidence in the word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And so we may walk through some things, but you got to keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. I remember a family, they moved out to Broken Arrow. This is a number of years ago. I know some of them have been in the church here a long time. I don't know, maybe Chuck and Sharon may remember them, but the Warwick family, Chuck and Ada, Ada and her kids. And so Jessica was an adopted girl, and she had, she would always, whenever we saw her, she was always wearing an insulin pump. And they didn't give her long to live. Ha! Ha! And she got out to Rhema, started going to Rhema Bible Training Center. And, of course, she's finished her third year, fourth year, whatever. She's gone a few extra years. But she would go, because their classes, they run half day. They run from 8:30 to 12 or 12:30. So she would go to prayer and healing school every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. She got the word in her spirit. She ain't using a pump. And they don't understand why, but the pancreas just start working. They just start working. They just start working. They're working. Why? Because the word of God, ingested and spoken and meditated on, will change your circumstances. That's how we're going to get it. That's how we're going to get it. I'm not saying that you don't go to, you go to doctors, but you are not restricted to the outcome. That does not define the outcome. They're going to say what they say. That's their diagnosis. But you can change the circumstance or the situation with the word of God. And, you know, I'm thinking of a few more things, but Charles Capps, he shared another story. I'm talking about confessing the word of God. He said, I like to fish. This was another story he told. I like to fish. So he said, I'd go out on the boat with these guys, and this is fresh water, not ocean. So fresh water. They're out on the lake. And he said, I'm calling the fish to my line. I call the fish to my line. So he's on one side of the boat, and the other guys are on the other side. They ain't catching nothing. He's catching all the fish. So they said to them, hey, man, this ain't fair. Can we switch to your side? I said, sure. But they just went to his side. And they kept coming to his line. And they switched sides, and they still got nothing. So we're going to have to discipline ourselves to those things that you desire, those things that you want. That's why when we make professions of faith, God spoke to us to call in $80,000 a week. I can guarantee you, you have not because you ask not. And this was something that we didn't dream up. This was an instruction from the Lord to call it in. I don't know why he gave us that particular amount, but that was the amount he gave us. And I can guarantee you, I've heard Brother Copeland shared this one time. He got up in front of everybody and shared it. And he shared that they're, the ministry doing well, everything was productive and so forth. And then when he got the annual report, he noticed that they were in deep red trouble in the video side. Everything else was doing fine, but on the video side, he said they were like $4 or $5 million in the red. And he said he began to fear gripped him. And he said that just he was, meditating on it. And finally the Lord told him, he said, you're going to have to speak to it. And he said it was within, he started speaking to that debt. And he said within 6 or 8 months, it was gone. And so it's the same thing. If you desire something or God has put something in your heart, you begin to release words of faith. First of all, if God gave you the direction, then you can rest assured he'll bring it to pass. And whether it takes a month or 2 months or 2 years or 20 years, you keep speaking those words of faith. This is how you get results. And sometimes we let go, we give up, because we don't see the answer. And we start saying, well, I guess it's not working. That's an evil report. That's an evil report. And I can guarantee you, I remember one time just sharing stories about how confession works. I was in a car accident one time, and it was my fault. And of course, because it was my fault, I was sued. And they were going, as they say, for hook, line, and sinker. It was about $300,000. And I'm looking like, okay, I'm cooked. I don't have that kind of money. And so, I had an insurance policy, but they wanted some money. And so I'm really meditating on this, and it's weighing on me. How am I gonna do? What am I gonna do, Lord? And I remember sitting in my office, and up out of my spirit, he said, Malachi 3:10. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can hardly contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's what he said. Man, I jumped off my desk shouting because I knew I had the answer. I walked through the process. I had to. It was a legal thing, and it went to the Supreme Court because of the amount of money. And so I'm making that profession of faith. Lord, you said to me, you promised me, and I'm making this profession. You said you would rebuke the devourer for my sake, and I'm a tither. Well, it got right up to the court date, and they said, your presence is not needed. And if you're needed, we'll call you. And it was the week of the trial. And I'm, as they say, I'm a little nervous. But I'm confident that God spoke to me. And so the insurance policy I had was for $50,000, $100,000. Now, at that time, today, if you had $50,100, that's not too bright. Today, most people have $1 million on their coverage, or they have $500,000 or whatever, to just have a buffer in case they were in an accident. So anyhow, got no calls. Week went by. I'm thinking, that's strange. I get a letter in the mail stating, thank you very much. This case has been settled within your insurance policy. Oh, yeah. I've walked through some things. And I said, yes, sir. God worked in my behalf. So we're going to have to, again, put emphasis or weight on the power of our words, that if we're going to see some things change in our lives, I've shared this story about how I was working the word in the area of healing in my body and got results. But I was not working it in the area of finances. And just like you hear the story of Brother Hagin, he got up off the bed of sickness with all of those life-threatening ailments, but he was not working the word in the area of finances, and they were broke and hurting. Had his cars repossessed, hitchhiking, going around preaching faith and hitchhiking from meeting to meeting. And finally, the Lord spoke to him something similar to what he told me in a time of prayer. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, what does that mean? Speak it. And he knew what I would know what he meant. If you will work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Meaning my accounts will overflow. So we're going to have to, and not be moved when we don't see it. Because why? Faith is confident in his word, and confident that it's going to come to pass. So this is, as I call it, these are the fundamentals. And faith, because faith is spiritual, faith is not the byproduct of reasoning. Faith is the byproduct of the Word of God. And faith comes from your spirit, not your intellect. So faith is the byproduct of the Word of God put in your spirit. Your spirit will follow after your confession. I heard another story. This was a Charles Capp story. He said he had someone come and they made a profession of faith that they were going to have a better job or whatever. I forget the details of the story. But he said what he talked about was he had these two individuals. One said, I'll never get that job. And the other one said, I'm going to have a better job. And just the same way, how many have ever had thoughts come, go over here and do this today? pick this up. Go over here and do this. We all have. Your spirit will follow your confession. Meaning, as you put the word of God, as you put a good confession in and release it and put those words in your spirit man, always remember this. God has a voice, and so does your spirit. Your own human spirit is your conscience, and your conscience has a voice. And if you put the word of God in it and a good confession, your conscience, as we've all heard this, your conscience will lead you. Your conscience will speak to you. How many have heard that wasn't right? We've all heard in our heart that wasn't right. Or go over here, do this. That's your conscience speaking. And so as we put the word of God in our heart and we put a good confession, your spirit will speak to you. Go do this. Invest in this. Buy this. You don't know how many times I'm thinking of just two instances. I'm sitting in my office and I heard down here, go to Men's Warehouse. And I go, I don't want any more clothes. I don't want any more suits. I'm tired of suits. I don't want any more jackets. And you know, you got that mind-heart thing going back and forth. So I finally just said, okay, I'll play along. I'll go. Right? So I go, and I knew the guy over there across the street from the church. And I go in, he said, hey, we got sales going on, blah, blah, blah. Buy two sports coats, get them for $100. I forget, it was $50 each or $100 each or whatever. I think he got two sport coats for $100 each, right? The key was the sport coats were cashmere, and they were $800 each. And they were trying to get rid of them. And I said, yes, sir, I'll buy him. See, he'll bring you to the good and the better and the best if you profess. See, I'm thinking of another time I sit in my office and I heard down here, go to Macy's. And I'm like, I don't want any more suits. So I go over and you know, I just said, okay, I'm poking around in the suit place. And I'm looking, and I pull this suit out, and I said, hey, this is a nice suit. And I look at the tag, and I said, that's got to be a mistake. It had $400 on it, but it was marked down to $40. And I'm like, that's got to be a mistake. I said, there's got to be something wrong with this suit. Is it torn, marked, irregular? So I asked the sales lady, I brought her over and I said, is there something wrong with this suit? She says, no, we're just marking them down. And I so you know, this is just how, I don't know, silly I was at the time. I didn't want a suit. I really didn't want any more stuff. And I said, well, if it's my suit, it'll be here tomorrow when I come back. And I did. I left it there. And I came back the next day, it was there. So the point I'm making is that your spirit will lead you from a good confession. You put a good confession in your spirit, it will lead you to the right clients if you're a business owner. He'll let you know. Don't yes and no. Yes and no. He will lead you to the good and the best. That's what he wants. And sometimes we're bumping around and we're making an evil report. We're releasing words based on what we see, not based on faith-filled words. So, and you can see that's exactly what happened in Numbers 13. And if you look at, we're in Numbers, flip over to, we're there. look at in verse four, chapter 14, and look at verse 26 in chapter 14. It said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which do what? Murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me." Now look at verse 28. "Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you." So just the same way, and we have scripture in the New Testament, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And the more modern translations say, whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. And whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. So if you allow problems in your life, heaven has to stand by and allow it. That's why when people say, why would God, how come God's allowing that? Well, he is. He has to abide by his word. If you allow it, heaven allows it. What does that mean? He's given us dominion and authority as the body of Christ here in this earth. So if we allow things, he has to allow it. So, 1 Peter, I got over there before, I didn't get back there. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." So in other words, if we're going to see good days, we're going to have to do what? It says here, if we want to love life, see good days, let you refrain your tongue from evil and your lips that they speak no guile. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, part of this walk of faith is going to be keeping a watch, as they say, keeping a watch on the things of your mouth. And to tie this in, when you look at faith, we have a perfect example. Let's go over to Mark 11 and look at the example we have in Jesus shares in Mark 11 when he cursed the fig tree. In verse 20 in Mark 11, it says, "In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Meaning, you could do the same thing. This is faith right here. But how is, what does faith do here? He said, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say," this is how we get results. Faith speaks. So we can see here, "whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and do what? "And not doubt, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that" what? "Those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So that means that faith speaks, and faith doesn't doubt in its heart, and it believes the things that it's saying will come to pass. So this is when it says we walk by faith and not by sight. When we walk by faith, we're speaking to the things that confront us in life, are the things we desire, and you're speaking to them, not doubting in your heart, because if you doubt in your heart, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. And it says here, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And one thing Brother Hagin said when he was alive, he said Jesus spoke to him and said, when he revealed this scripture to him, he said, if you'll notice, he said the word say, or a derivative of say, or saith, is in this, he said three times. Now, it's actually in more, but he's talking about you saying. So he said, this is what he said, my people, meaning Christians, don't have a problem believing me. He said the Christian doesn't have a problem believing me. They have a problem in their saying. So he said, we're going to have to do three times what he told him. He said, you're going to have to do three times as much teaching in the area of saying as you are believing. Because this is where we miss it. And if you're honest with yourself, this is the area that we have to watch the most and guard the most, that we say things. We just, because we've been thinking about it, we've been meditating on it, and we're apt to do what? Talk and release words that are not faith-filled. They're not with confidence. And so those are the things that we're going to have to get a handle on. Your confession is faith's way of expressing itself. So faith expresses itself by what you say. And the saying moves from saying to doing. So it first starts with confident saying, and then from there it moves to doing, acting on it. So faith, again, as it says, faith is of the heart. And so faith, there is no faith without confession. There's no faith without a confession. You can't have faith and not say it. You know, somebody would say, well, my faith, I'm quiet. No, that's not true. Because I can guarantee if you hang around anybody long enough, something they've been meditating on, they're going to talk about it. They're going to talk about what they believe. Could be right or wrong, but they're going to talk about it. They're going to talk about what they believe. So there is no faith without a confession. You think about it from just the standpoint of Romans 10, 9, and 10. Now let's turn over to, let me just wrap this up here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 13. Familiar scripture? Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. So you can see here, confession follows believing. And we also believe, and therefore speak. So you can see here, somebody who says that they don't need to confess something, well, that's not scriptural, because you can see right here, confession, speaking, follows what you believe. The spirit of faith. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. And this was written by someone who went to heaven and got revelation from heaven. So I think I'll believe him. Right? Here's another thought. If you control your mouth, you control your life. You control your mouth, you control your life. What does that mean? Proverbs 6, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So you can be snared with your words. So if you control your mouth, you control your life. You control the outcome of it. And sometimes we're just going to have to just come to grips with this, that if God said it, he's going to bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. Now, be open, as Brother Hagin used to say, give space to be led by the Spirit of God. Give space for him to lead you and guide you. So you take a stand, whatever it is, get direction from God, either through his word or by his Spirit. Once you get that direction, you're standing, you're making a profession of faith. Be open to be led and directed. He may know some things that you don't know. So, Proverbs 13 and verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. just came to my mind, this brilliant gentleman that I used to work with for the utility company. So we used to meet with the CEO. I mean, we would have meetings, like management meetings once a year, whoever, and we would come and the CEO would come and different vice presidents and so forth would come to these meetings. And so the CEO had a very, very, very strong Boston accent. And he was a no-nonsense guy. And so he's sitting at this meeting, and this brilliant guy, he was on a fast track to go somewhere. And he made fun of the Boston accent. And he called him a brilliant idiot. And I thought, this is what you have here. Keep your lips closed, or you open them wide, and you have destruction. And I thought, no wisdom. It's just foolish. And they parked him after that. You know what I mean? Park him and say, here, you go, this little job over here. And that was the end of that for him. And he made fun of that Boston accent. Foolish. So we're going to have to. Here's something that F.F. Bosworth shared in his writings. In order to make a true faith confession, it must be from a persuaded heart. In order to make a true faith confession, it must be from a persuaded heart. So you can have a confession, but if it's going to be a true faith confession, it has to be from a persuaded heart. And you know what that means. When you're persuaded, nothing's moving you off of that. You're convinced. And so the question becomes, what are we convinced of where God's word is concerned, where his promises are concerned? Are we absolutely convinced? Well, a faith confession comes from a persuaded heart. How do you get persuaded? Feeding on the word, feeding on it, feeding on it, feeding on it. I was listening to some, last couple of days, I've just been listening to Dr. Larry Hutton, and he was sharing about, this was a number of years ago, and he sells this Heaven's Health Food. It's just reading scripture, healing scriptures. And he said he had this tumor on his back, and it was big, and it was, you know, could alarm you. So he said he decided over, you know, a couple of days, I guess he had time or downtime, he started listening to himself share the healing scriptures 24 hours a day, constantly, all day, all night. Put his earbuds in, let those healing scriptures run all day, all night. And he said, this went on, actually, he said he had some meetings and things, but he said he did this for 10 days. And he said he was going somewhere into Walmart, and he said, some guy recognized him and said, hey, Brother Larry, how you doing? And he said, all of this scripture came out. Just, he unloaded on this person. And it just come up out of his spirit. And he said he knew it was time to curse it. This was after 10 days of just feeding and feeding and listening and feeding and feeding. He got so full that he said he left, went and got in his car, and he spoke to it and cursed it. And he knew it was cursed. Did anything change? No. So he said the next day they got this call from a friend and said, hey, we have a timeshare or a condo, I forget what it is, in Phoenix, and, you know, would you like to use it? Well, of course, he said, sure. So they go down, and so they're there, and they're in the room, and his wife started screaming, oh, ooh, it had broke, and his whole back was full of blood. And he said his shirt was all bloody. And of course, you know, he said, now all of a sudden, you know, thoughts are coming. You know, it's gangrene, it's this, it's that, and bop, bop, bop. And he said, no. He said, I cursed it. It's cursed. And he said, 2 days after, nothing there. Dried up, gone. But he got so full of the Word of God that his faith confession came from a persuaded heart. And in order to be persuaded, or you could say in order to be confident, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. It's the confidence. And so this confidence comes by constantly feeding on the Word. And if there's something in your life that needs changing, the constant feeding of the Word of God, gotten down in your spirit, will persuade you. And when you're persuaded, I'm telling you, faith is a force. It will come up out of your spirit. And you will say something from a persuaded heart. You're convinced, I got this. It's mine. I got it. And that persuasion comes from faith, comes from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that conviction, that confidence is coming from your spirit, from your heart, not your head, not your reasoning. Because your reason will tell you, it's over. It won't work. That's reasoning. Reasoning will tell you you're lost. So just to wrap up here, we're talking about faith that gets results. Results here from the covenant are going to be applying the covenant principles, or we could say faith. And faith from a persuaded heart is going to get results. And so as you think about some of these little stories, you may have some stories, you know, of what you've walked through. God has revealed some things, and you're confident. You got it, and you got it. So, you know, if you're still walking through a process, don't give up. Don't let go. Keep feeding. get the natural help you may need. See, that's the thing people miss it on. They say, well, I'm so confident I don't need natural help. See, now that's foolish too. See, if you need some natural help, get the natural help and keep feeding and keep feeding and keep feeding and keep feeding. It will change the circumstance. It will change your finances. It will change your body. It'll change your family. It has to. His word is forever settled in heaven. And it cannot fail. So when I get the word of God in me, I can't fail. Because he can't fail. So, just some thoughts as you're going through your work week. Make a decision that I'm going to feed more. I'm going to meditate more. I'm going to listen more to the Word of God, whether it's on CD, whether it's, you know, scripture recitation, whatever it is. Do something to get the Word down in your spirit, because the Word gotten down into your spirit will generate faith. And the more you feed on it, there's going to be a spiritual force of confidence that's going to come. I mean, when you think about this, when God said, "Let there be light," that was spoken from faith. He didn't say, "Well, I hope there's going to be light." No, it was spoken in faith and confident that there's going to be light when I speak. When Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Come," Peter responded to those words. They were spirit and life. So when he said, "Come," that hit his spirit with such force, he had nothing other to do than to do what? Get up. And it impacted him such that he got out of the water, out of the boat, and walked on water. So when you think about that, the word that gets the word that germinates and grows in my spirit is going to produce. It's going to produce. Amen? Glory to God. Praise God. This to me is where the rubber meets the road. When you want to give up, that's the time you take the word of God and feed on it and feed on it and feed on it till it propels you to a place of victory. Because it's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. But where to do what? Persevere. To stand. When you've done all to stand, stand.